Yeah, I've done a mass mute here because there's garble in the background there, and we're not going to have any of this in this call. So just, Ralph, sorry to cut you off. You can't be heard right now. So I've muted everyone, just so you're clear. And I can do that, and I'll keep on doing it as long as we have digital phones breaking up in the background and any kind of noise in the background. And if it continues, then maybe we'll consider doing these calls through the mail or something. You know, respect, and hopefully there's only givers on the call tonight, and that givers have not invited others to the call. Not that I really totally mind, but and maybe the others don't mind either. But you know, the givers have done participated in something that everyone had an opportunity to partake in, and if they chose not to, that's okay. And so anyhow, I'm going to get going on the call here, just so you're all clear. I've mass muted everyone, so you cannot be heard. If you want to be heard, you'll have to press *6, and feel free to do so pretty much at any time. If I'm in the middle of a roll or something like that, please don't interrupt. And if it gets to be noise in the background, I'll mute again and start unmuting and playing TVs and music in the background and stuff, whatever. Anyhow, it's been a whole lot of things fell into place in the last week or so, and it started really with a meeting I had with a lawyer 1 week ago today. And I'll just share with you what he said during this conversation. And this is a lawyer I've spoken to before who knows what the Queen did with regards to surrender of the estate to the Treasury. He's also, his law firm, which he's a partner in, is contracted as a Crown attorney. You know, runs prosecutions in the courts here in Ontario. And sorry, Ralph, we had to cut you off there because of the noise. Thinking the same thing on the birth certificates, and that's all I want to say on that matter for the time being. We can discuss that later if there's relevancy for it, but I don't see that. So two things that the lawyer said, my ego had a bit of a problem with at first, although I didn't voice it. I will admit there's a little bit of resistance, but that soon went away, and I opened up my mind to just what the heck is he saying here. And basically he said a birth certificate is a license. Again, a birth certificate is a license, or like a license, and it's kind of like a license plate on a car. It's stuck to you forever. I had a problem hearing that. That's where the resistance kicked in with the ego there, but then I settled down in my mind and said, okay, let's just accept what he's saying here, and caused a whole different avenue of thinking on things we have done, and you'll understand as we go through the call here, and I'm sure you're all going to breathe a sigh of relief. Because you're going to understand why pretty well everything we have done has not worked. And so this is what the lawyer said. A birth certificate is a license, and like a license plate, it's stuck to you for life. You know, my first thought was, well, that's fine and dandy to have this name stuck to me for life, but this thing is not benefiting me at all. But then I immediately went to it, but that's blaming, that's putting the blame outward again, so let's take responsibility here. And having that mindset caused me to get into the dictionaries and look through the whole license concept. And to explain the license concept, regardless of what you have heard about the license thing, take James Bond, and I'm only using this as an example. It's knowing that James Bond has a license to kill. All that means is if you have such a license and you actually kill, you cannot be charged with murder. That's what it means. It's not doesn't make you anything. It just means that other agents of Her Majesty recognize that Her Majesty has given you the authority to do this, and so you cannot be charged with murder. That's all it means. So it's a license that's for agents that need to see licenses to know that you have the authority to do what you're doing. Now, a driver's license comes with responsibilities, duties, and obligations, the Highway Traffic Act, the Provincial Offenses Act, the Criminal Code, drinking and driving. So that's not the kind of license I'm talking about here, and that's not the kind of license the lawyer was talking about, but we are talking about a license. So a license is, when you hear the word license, think permission, think authority, okay? But don't think that Her Majesty's giving you permission to do anything. Don't get your ego in the way here and thinking, who's Her Majesty to give me the right to do anything? Not giving you the right to do anything. She's giving you a tool to show her agents that you have the right to do anything, providing you do it properly. That's what the permission/authority is. It's what I call wanton blanket indemnification for everything you do in the firm name. And we'll get into the firm name here in a moment. But in the firm name, if it's not done in the firm name, it's done in your name, and you will be charged with murder. And I'm only using this license to kill thing as an example because basically in the mind you're thinking, geez, if someone has a license to kill, that's a lot of power and authority and freedom. Surely if one has a license to kill, then one can get on an airplane without having to pay or get a house without having to pay or be like James Bond and have all this lovely adventure in the Enterprise without having to pay for anything. So we're having some serious mind shifts on some focal points here is what I'm getting at. Too. So the license thing is not a bad thing, contrary to what we all maybe heard and believed and allowed the programming into our heads, which further caused us to view the system as out to screw us, which I now know is not the case. I have screwed myself all the way right through until yesterday. And I say yesterday because I got it now. And that name is stuck to you for life. And it's not that it's stuck to you for life to be used against you, although it is right now, and it's not even being used against you right now because you'll come to learn you're not even doing business in the name of the government. You're doing it in your own name. Because I've got to ask you all this. If you register a corporation and call it General Motors Corporation, can there be such a thing as a derivative of that name? No. Not unless it's another name registered, which doesn't make it a derivative of it. It's just another registered name. But there can be no such thing as a derivative of a registered name. And what I'm getting at here is that you are licensed to bind the firm, provided that you actually do business in the firm name. And the firm name is exactly, and I mean exactly, as it appears on your birth certificate. And if it's done any other way, it's your name. And don't ask me, how do I look on your birth certificate, and that's the name of the buyer. That's the name of the ship that you're sailing. And in possession of that certificate means you have the authority to be in control of that ship and to bind the owner of that ship to whatever comes on board or whatever that ship does. All, anything. But only if it's done in the name of the firm name, which is the name exactly as it appears on the birth certificate. And that's the name that's registered in the system, not the other names. The derivatives are not in the registration system. Therefore, they are not in the archives, and the government does not recognize them. And that's why it's not responsible for your debts. It's your trade name. And whether or not you put it on the paper is immaterial. If someone else put it on the piece of paper and you started paying the bills and you started signing pieces of paper, then you accepted it as your trade name. When you didn't have to do that, you could have said, nope, that's not the name that goes on this contract. The name goes on the contract exactly as it appears on this birth certificate and no other way. And I mean right down to the commas. The name is the name, and the name is the name appearing on the birth certificate. That is your business. That's the firm name. Now read Section 131 of the Bills of Exchange Act. Trade name, assumed name. I'm going to use Victor Robert Beck as an example. Might be on a phone bill. That's a trade name. That name does not appear on a birth certificate, and it does not appear in any registry, and it does not appear in the archives of any government anywhere with respect to a registration of a name for business purposes. Therefore, it is a trade name, and since it doesn't exist in the archives of the government, it came from someplace else. And since my signature is stuck to it, that's me. And that's you. We were all given a name to do business in, which is binding upon the Enterprise, Her Majesty and Right of Canada, and the ship being steered towards prosperity. But if you do not do business exactly in the name appearing on your birth certificate, then you are doing business in a trade name that came from someplace else, and there's no way the government's going to pay. So there's the first big thing to ponder, folks. There's no such thing as a derivative of a registered business name. So to say that Victor Robert Beck or V.R. Beck and all these other names or Mr. Whatever are a derivative of the name of the statement of birth or the birth certificate is wrong. That is not the case. They are out of your head. And if someone else put it on the paper, meaning it came from their head, meaning you showed them the birth certificate, but then they put the name Victor Beck instead of Beck Victor Robert, shame on me for not correcting them. Because under Section 34 of the Bills of Exchange Act, I can correct it or I can accept in my own name. And so by not correcting it, to the name on the birth certificate, I am accepting in my own name, which is not registered in the system. And so, therefore, it is my name, and when you sign under 131 of the Bills of Exchange Act, you are liable, and that's what's happening to everyone. Right there. How silly have we been? Just because they put pieces of paper in your front of your face that says first name, middle name, and last name, doesn't mean shit. It's the onus is on you to say, hey, that's not the name I do business in. It is this way, or we're not doing business. And don't worry, no one will refuse to do you business, but you need to pick up on it. And you need to have that firm name, because now if you're using a firm name, and when you sign on the contract for the firm, now it's identified to the party you're doing business with as a business name, and you're signing for the firm that you're not the firm. If that's not in evidence, it doesn't exist. It's your name, and you're liable. Capiche? So you have one business name to do business with, and that's it. And not one of us is doing it that way. We've got all kinds of derivatives, and all we've ever been talking about is the fucking derivatives. Everyone, there's 30 million Canadians. Every Canadian was given a name. It's a firm name. And if you do business in the firm name, then the firm is on the hook. The partners of the firm are on the hook. And we didn't register the business, so that doesn't include the recipient of the birth certificate. So therefore, the license, the birth certificate is a license slash authority permission to bind the firm. But only if you do things in the firm name, exactly as it appears on the birth certificate. And don't someone ask me, does that include the comma? It is exactly as it says name on the birth certificate. Take a look at it. And that's the name that has got to go in the contracts. If it doesn't, the firm is not bound, and the enterprise, being Her Majesty and Right of Canada, is not bound either. This is why you're all on the hook. I have yet to meet anyone that has used that name off the birth certificate exactly as it appears on the birth certificate and then signed per signature like you normally do. Forget all this other hokey bullshit. Just use your fucking signature the way it is. So per signature for the firm. You want to send a letter to the government, send it in your upper lowercase name because that name is not registered in the archive, so they don't know what that is. They can't recognize it other than is in you in your normal capacity. So if you're writing a letter on behalf of the firm or with respect to the firm, it's okay to say, hi, my name is Victor Beck. I'm communicating with you with regards to the firm name, Beck, comma, Victor Robert, that you hold title to. With respect to a contract entered into by the firm that you hold title to. So don't worry about all the name and what name to use and what name not to use. Be yourself. You have the business. Now, a friend of mine, I think maybe on this call, sent me an email early last week. I just read it just after or before I think it was after I met with the lawyer, I don't recall. And I sent that little piece out there to tonight. And he was told by his lawyer, now listen up. This gentleman was operating a company, a registered business. And his lawyer said to him, I don't want to see you ever sign for that company except by signing per signature for the company or as president. So even though it had the company name on the invoice, on the contract, it still suggested, and the lawyer said, I don't want to see you sign ever except per that company or for that company, because if you don't put those words on there, it's a personal guarantee. What's in evidence? Yep, we see that money was lent to a corporation, but we see down here at the signature, there's nothing in evidence as per the Bills of Exchange Act to suggest that this contract was signed for the company. And since it's not in evidence that it was signed for the company, whoever signed this is personally liable. Because it's not in evidence that it was for the company. I've read case law on it, folks. A gentleman was lent money to his firm, his company. And he fully intended the loan for the company. There's no fraud here. He intended the loan for the company. But when the business went bad and the bank started taking his personal assets, he had a problem with that. He said, you didn't lend me money, you lent my company money. The judge says, well, let's have a look at the signature. Well, there's nothing here by the signature to indicate, sir, that you were not signing in a personal capacity or that you were signing for the company. So based on the evidence before this court, we have to assume, because the knowledge that was given to the party you contracted with did not indicate it other, and since that party is acting on the basis that you were signing in a personal capacity, the court has to agree. In other words, don't ever, ever, ever sign for the firm other than it states in Section 1312 of the Bills of Exchange Act. Per, then your signature, however you do that, don't ask me a question, how do I sign? Your signature, and then just put the words for the firm. Why for the firm? Because that takes it right back to Section 1312 of the Bills of Exchange Act. Now they know who is bound, and it's not you, because you're under 1311 of the Bills of Exchange Act. 1312 deals with partners in a firm. That can't possibly be you, and the partners to the firm are anyone that has an oath or works or is an associate of Her Majesty. Every single agent. So you have a, look at it this way, you're operating a ship owned by Her Majesty. She holds title to the ship. She has authorized you to be the captain of the ship. And if there's anything you need as the captain of that ship, every single agent and agency and minister and representative of and for Canada, Her Majesty is there to help you at your asking. But only if you're doing it in the name of Her Majesty's ship. If you're doing it in any other name, other than exactly as appears on your birth certificate, you are liable. There's no such thing as a derivative of a registered business name. How dumb have we been? So you're saying, oh, okay, I got all these contracts out there with the wrong name on them. And that's not that it's the wrong name, it's just not the name you want on those contracts. So how do we fix that up? Well, let's not worry about the past for the moment, although fixing that up is very simple, and we will get into that. But sticking with where we're at now, staying the focus on now, from now on forward, what I'm suggesting to you people that you start doing today, or thinking, pardon me, just don't do anything, but think on this very seriously, that from this moment forward, if you're going to go out there and buy anything, or acquire anything, you're going to make absolute certain that the name, that exactly as it appears on that birth certificate or first piece of government identification, if you come into this country, is on that contract exactly as it appears on that identification, right down to the dots, the commas, the spaces, all of it. If it's not exactly the same, then it's not in evidence. Why does it have to be the same? Because if it's the name on the contract that's on the birth certificate, it connects back to the statement of birth. And a representative of Her Majesty holds title to that. That's the owner of the firm. But if you don't do it in that name and sign for the firm, you haven't bound Her Majesty. Do you get it? Very, very simple. Any questions, folks, at this point before I get on to the next part? Again, you have to unmute star six, I believe, if you want to ask anything now. Now's a good time.
Vic, Jim, I have more than one birth certificate. And they're in different formats.
Yep. What's your question?
So I can use both?
Well, you're only supposed to have one, so which is the most recent?
The most recent one has been changed from the original one.
Anyhow, whichever one is the most recent of the two, I doubt they were both issued the same day, is the one I would be using. And as far as the name on the certificate, the name exactly as it appears on the certificate. I don't want to hear, do I do it in upper lowercase? If it's an upper lowercase or all caps, exactly as it appears on the birth certificate.
No, I appreciate that, but as I'm saying, they're both the.
Anyhow, Jim,
the government said they're both proper. So.
Well, make your choice then. It's your choice.
Okay, thank you.
Make your pick.
Hi, it's Susie.
Hi, Susie.
Quick question. I legally changed my name. Is that affected or no?
Here's another thing. Very good time to talk about this. You did not change your name.
Okay. I did not change my firm. Right. Okay.
If you put that firm name on a contract and say my name, you just led the other individual to believe they're doing business with you.
Right.
So this is a good time, folks, to get rid of the me, mine, mine and all seriousness and understand what you're doing when you're doing and saying these words. You're binding yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess it also applies to, for example, women who get married and take their husband's name. You go back to your original.
That's an amalgamation of firm names. Our names, the name, let me get this straight too. The trade names that come under the category of 1311 of the Bills of Exchange Act, meaning names other than appear on a birth certificate, they come from your head.
Okay.
So that's the source.
Got it. Thank you.
And that's not the name you want out there. And that, but that name is not registered. Okay,
right.
So the names coming out of your head, although they're trade names and you can do business with them, that's why the government says, no, you don't have to register, have a use, you don't have to do business in a registered name, but you're still bounded for your promises and your contracts, unless you want to do business in our name. So a name that comes out of your head, folks, is your trade name, and it's not registered in the system by anyone, so you're on the hook for it.
Okay.
There's nowhere else to ground the charges to that name other than the one who signed on the contract.
Okay.
I hope that hope that answers your question, Susan.
Yes, it does.
Recipient, this is Recipient in Sarnia.
Hey, how you doing?
Could you go through that signature statement again, how that format works?
Well, there's no precise format. But first off, I'm just going to say what I would do. I would sign PER, that's P-E-R.
Yep.
Then the signature, however you do it, don't ask me that question. How should I sign? However you sign, comma, for the firm.
Okay.
Okay, for the firm now takes it back to Section 132 of the Bills of Exchange Act, firm name. So if you're signing for the firm, that's the firm name. The name on the birth certificate is now identified as the firm name because the fact is it's not from you. It is an actual registered business that is recognized in the system. And as the system says, if it's not in our archives, it does not exist. So the trade names do not exist in their archives. It might be on the contract, it might be in the files, but it is not a registered name that was registered by someone else to indemnify you. So you're free, wanton. You can do business in any name you so choose as long as it's not fraudulent purposes, but you are on the hook for it. Or you can do business in the firm name and bind Her Majesty to the contract. Because that's the holder of title to the name. That's the game, folks. This is how ridiculous this whole thing has been, to not catch on to this a long time ago. However, we had to go through everything we went through to get to this point. And so now you are literally, you have to be thinking in terms, or should be thinking in terms, Her Majesty has given me the ship, one of her ships, to which she is the owner of the ship. So whatever damages this ship incurs on its voyage, it's not my problem. If there's a problem with the voyage, that's not my problem. My only thing is to pick up the phone and ask for assistance from the legal guy, the accounting guy, the guy that fixes leaks in ships or plumbing or carpentry, whatever. And it's all done in the name of the ship, so Her Majesty gets the bill, not the captain. However, if the captain wants to make out like he's doing it in his own name, then the captain's on the hook. So y'all have a ship. Her Majesty is the owner of the ship. The birth certificate is your authorization to be the captain of that ship. And take and receive goods, and to dispose of same. And as long as it's all done in the name of the ship, you just go along for the ride. You pick and choose what goes on the ship. You pick and choose and just do what you do.
Is it Vic?
Yep.
When you sign like that, like you just said, you have to have the name as it is on the certificate on that contract.
That's what I've been saying all along.
Okay,
exactly.
I just want to make sure.
Yes, exactly. So let's say you're signing to buy a car.
Yep.
Okay? You got to make it very clear. Don't tell stories here, and I'm going to get into some other stuff about when we're out there. We got to stop talking about and educating these people about their job. That's putting the burden of proof on you now to come up with all this shit, and you're just going to go round and round and round in circles. We learned something big on Friday. I'll share with you how to deal with these things. I'm sorry, your question again was?
Oh, well, it wasn't the question. It's just that you're telling people to sign like that, but without reinforcing the fact that they have to have the contract in the proper name first.
Oh, I said that right off the hop. That's where I started the whole conversation.
Okay. I just want to reinforce that.
Yep, and I'll go over that again just for everyone's benefit. Thank you. Sorry for that resistance there. I'm still learning myself.
And so how do you suggest that you deal with it if, you know, you're doing up a contract and, you know, you say you want the contract in this name and they're like, well, what's the first name? What's the last name? And all
no, that. No. Yeah, but see, they're thinking they're dealing business with a consumer now. So you got to tell them, no, this is for a business. Oh, well, then there's no first name and last name. Silly me. What's the name of the business? Beck, Victor Robert. all capital letters. Like to see, I'll draw it out for you in this piece of paper. Here. This is the name of the purchaser. Okay? There's consumers and there's businesses, and businesses do not fall under any consumer legislation of any kind. So if your dealer starts talking to you about Consumer Protection Act and this and that and the other thing, he thinks you're buying the car in a personal capacity and not for the firm. And he's only thinking that because of something you have not said. So, comes time to buying something, I don't care how you get there, do it honorably, do it peacefully. Your objective is, I'm here to buy a car, you want to sell a car, this is the name that goes on the purchase thing, on the contract. No ifs, ands, buts, or maybes. I've never been refused that. I've had real estate people do real estate, when I've been trying different things here, real estate people do real estate transactions, get offers all signed and accepted and all this stuff without giving any money and totally changing their entire process. No, they have standard forms that they follow, but it's not to say that's not etched in stone. They want to sell stuff, and all they're thinking about, as long as I get the money, I don't give a shit. So don't be thinking in your head that you're doing something silly here or ridiculous or you're going to meet with flack. They want to sell something, and they want the money. That's all they care about. So if you're doing a contract and there's a purchaser, the name of the purchaser has got to be exactly as it appears on your birth certificate or government identification. If you're born in Canada, use the birth certificate. If you've got a citizenship card, whatever your first piece of paper was, that's the name. Use it.
So if there's a distinction on the contract then for like a consumer purchase or a personal purchase versus a business purchase, then make sure that the name goes under the business name section of that contract.
Yep. Just tell them this is a business buying the car. This is a business. This is a business making the purchase here, not a consumer.
Okay.
When I've been in business I'm not anymore, but when I was in business for 23 years, when I went to buy stuff, like if I bought trucks, it was always for the company. They said Beck Electronics. They would say, who do you want it registered? Who's the deal? Oh, this, I would make it clear. It's the company buying this truck, not me. You're talking to me, but it's for the company, and it was registered in the company. So no problem. And if they don't want to play your way, I don't think you'll ever meet resistance. I never have. But if you do, well, buddy, if you want to sell the car, that's the way it has to be. I'm going elsewhere because in your head you got to be going. I'm not doing it any other way because I'm binding myself.
Uh-huh.
Maybe I should call the police. This guy wants. I'm showing this guy identification that has a name here, and he wants to change it to something else. That looks like conversion or fraud to me, doesn't it? I mean, think about this. You give a birth certificate to a bank to show it as identification to open up an account, but then they put the name on the account other than on the birth certificate. Did they commit a crime?
Yep.
No. Have you said anything about that?
No.
No. So say something. And if they don't want to play ball, then now there's a crime. None of us said anything. We just accepted it. So that became your trade name. / assumed name, because the fact is that's not the name. The name you're doing business in is not your God-given name. That's your trade name. And since it wasn't given to you at birth and it isn't on the birth certificate, you must have assumed it somewhere along the way. This is why 131 is very potent, because it's trade and assumed name, and we're doing both of them. Because all those trade names we have now were all assumed names. We assumed them as soon as we put our signature to it. So if you're doing a contract, you've got to get the name on the contract exactly as it appears on the birth certificate, and then you need to sign something along the lines per, then your signature, then for the firm. And make it clear to whoever you're doing business with, this is a business making this purchase. You have nothing to hide here. The fact is, you know that you do not hold title to that name.
So if you're doing business with a bank, for example, and you know you're opening an account with them, or any place else where they make a distinction between personal accounts versus business accounts, then they should be opened as a business account. Is that right?
Yep. Well, here's the thing, folks. If you haven't done so already, I've given you the 131 and 132 of the bills of exchange, and 1311 and 1312 of the bills of exchange. Get out the dictionaries and look up the meaning of trade name, assumed name, and firm name. The thing is when if you went into a bank with a certificate of incorporation for a registered corporation like Beck Electronics, they will take the name off of that document exactly as it appears on the document. They won't convert it. That would be a crime, that wouldn't be a crime, but they could do that. But it's up to you to call it to their attention, because if you don't, you just assumed it. So when you show them the birth certificate, you say, this is the way the name appears on the account, exactly as you see here. If they're going to argue with that, you go, well, look, I didn't come here to argue. I came to open up an account. So I'll tell you what, let's call the police in here and have them decide, just as an arbitrator. I'm not asking. I don't think I'm asking too much by having the name exactly as it appears on this certificate appear exactly the same on that account over there. As it says here, it says name. It doesn't say first, middle, and last. It says name. And that's what I'm going by. We have got to stand firm. We got to know who we are here and stop thinking that we got to cower to these to what they're doing out there. They're not doing anything. That it's up to you to accept it or not. If you're feeling guilty about that, or you feel like you're challenging someone or something, then deal with it somehow to get over that. This is your ass on the line here. And again, in all my travels and all the things I have done, I have never received resistance. I've done real estate transactions, 3 or 4. I've done bankruptcy, and I've done all kinds of stuff, automobiles, got the orders to pay, had the Nivis forms, had these people do things way different than they normally would, only because they ask, yep, no problem, sir, we don't give a shit, we just want to sell the car, whatever it takes. As long as we get our money, we don't care. And there's nothing here about they're not going to get money. And if there's a breach of contract, it's got nothing to do with you. It's the firm. Now, I tell you this, the entire court system moves against who? The legal system moves against what kind of people? Forgetting about the criminal side of things and traffic, let's just talk about civil claims. The legal system moves against what kind of people?
Those in dishonor.
There you go. Thank you very much. So do you think Her Majesty's going to dishonor a contract that her firm name is bound to when that's what her courts do, act against dishonorers? In other words, the whole court system is honorable. It's only the people in dishonor that are not honorable, and that's why they're in the court. And so if you actually get a contract binding Her Majesty, binding the firm, I bet you're going to find you won't meet any resistance, because they're only breaching their own contract if they do. And they'll have an oath to serve Her Majesty's interests. So now you're coming to Her Majesty directly with an unencumbered asset. And I'm going to tell you something else I learned over the weekend. You know who the enemy of the state is, folks? You've heard of the Trading with the Enemy Act? Do you know who the enemy of the state is?
Us.
No.
No.
Banks.
No banks.
Banks. See, we keep thinking it's us. Everyone's out to get us. No. It's the banks that is the enemy of the state. Why? Even Caesar got screwed by the banker. Because banks is where usury's at. And if you're buying an asset for the firm, keeping this in mind, that your firm name is and always will be a part of the perfect oneness of Canada. It's impossible to separate it. In your mind, yes, we'll believe you, that we'll let you believe you're doing business in your own name, but behind the scenes, everything is being registered in that firm name. The problem is, when you go to the bank and you borrow money on it, you've encumbered the value of the asset, which materially impairs the value, character, use of the thing. You're actually harming Her Majesty.
So that's basically why they always screw up the names when they're on the accounts.
They're doing this, Jim, but we have to take note of it.
Right.
And stop accepting it. And hold them to the words on the paper. This is a certificate here, sir. This is evidence admissible in court. You see the way that name is on that proof right there? You better get that on the account there or call the police. I'm quite happy to talk to them. Now see what they do. I don't think you'll meet any resistance if you just do it amicably and honorably. There's no need for that. And personally, I don't think you're going to end up doing business with the banks. But for conversation purposes, it's good to talk about these things in these ways. But absolutely critical. Two things. And remember here, what's in evidence? Think about evidence. What is in evidence here? Oh, we got a Victor Beck signed by a Victor Beck. Well, there's absolutely nothing here in this evidence to indicate that the government of Ontario or Canada or anyone else is liable for this other than Victor Beck at 123 Main Street. But if you get the firm name and sign per for the firm, that's what's in evidence now. So the only question is, well, who holds title? Who are the partners in the firm? So you put the paper before the court, you put a contract before the court with the name on the birth certificate on it, and you indicate that, and you put the document of title being the statement of birth in front of him, your signature's not there. He doesn't even know who you are. So looking at the evidence, absolutely the province of Ontario is responsible, or government of Ontario is responsible for this. But until you do that, it's not in evidence. And this is what's being used against us. Ourselves. We're doing it to ourselves. We were all given a name to do business in, and not one of us has done that. Not one, and not anyone I've met, anyhow, and I'm speaking for myself. And even if I did put it in the proper name on the birth certificate, I did not sign for the firm. So just like the gentleman that signed for his, that actually borrowed money for the company, but didn't sign, he was indicated he was signing for the company, it was a personal guarantee. That's your 1311 of the Bills of Exchange Act. So, name of the firm on the contract and sign in accordance with 1312 of the Bills of Exchange Act, keeping in mind that, what is the Bills of Exchange Act? Every single solitary court order issued in this country is a bill of exchange. And so the whole entire court process is being done under the offer and acceptance aspect of the Bills of Exchange Act. So your contract and your money is the Bills of Exchange Act. So there's your two choices, folks, how you want to do business under 1311 or 1312. Your choice. That whole law about that whole game, contracts and the money, is right there in that entire Bills of Exchange Act. It's dealing with contracts. Until there's a contract, there's no obligations. When there's a contract, then there's obligations for delivery and payment. Let's just call it performance. If you're doing it in the name of the firm, you're not on the hook to perform. If you do it any other way, as we all have done and continue to do, that is why we are on the hook. No ifs, ands, buts, or maybes. Now, any questions?
Yeah, Vic, I was wondering, once you get the offer accepted and signed in the business name, where does that document go? Is it to the provincial or is it to federal?
Well, I'm not even going to get into that right now.
Okay.
And we may or may not get into it on this call. And the only reason I'm going to give for that is I think that by the time we're done this call, you should be able to figure that out for yourself. But maybe more importantly is to think about all of this. And if you want, we can have another call next week to discuss it in further detail. But let's finish the call or get on with the meat aspect of the call. And then we can maybe address that issue.
Thank you.
What I'm doing here, folks, is I'm sharing with you, trying to clarify or add to your viewpoint that hopefully clears out for, I know some of you, like myself, have been looking at this stuff for a very long time, so there's been a lot of stuff go through your head. Become very confusing and convoluted, and sometimes you don't know which way to turn, and that's why I've always stayed on the focus that, no, my job here is the captain of the ship and nothing else. If there's a problem on the boat or something's impeding the voyage or there's accounting or financial stuff, it's got to be delegated somewhere else. It's not my responsibility, and that's exactly where we're at here, but it doesn't kick in unless the firm name is bound on a contract, which actually binds Her Majesty, which was her full intention to do, which is why she gave you the birth certificate. So as Victoria Joy would say, when it was offered to you, and what an honor it is, and we've all messed it up big time because of our crooked eyes, big time, and the fee paid for a birth certificate is just an administrative fee. It does not pass full legal title to the recipient, which means, it doesn't pass full title. How much title does it pass? It doesn't matter. The government does hold the document of title, which is the Bill of Lading, and whoever holds that owns the firm name. That's why the judge in New Zealand said the Crown Consolidated Fund pays the charges. That's why the case out west, they gave back out to renegotiate with the guy. That's why the guy that appointed the Crown Attorney, the fiduciary trustee, the judge said, yes, he can. Truth is the truth is the truth is the truth is the proof is the proof because it's good proof because it's proven. And these documents are not challengeable in courts. And so if the firm is bound, the firm is bound. And I can assure you, and I think all of you will agree on this call, that I don't think anyone, you have to just ask yourself, I never, ever got any contract to have the name appear on it exactly as it does for the birth certificate, and nor did I at the same time simultaneously sign for the firm. Matter of fact, this whole concept is new, so no, I haven't done any of that, and I'm suggesting to you folks that I know be the case. We all fall under the category right now of 1311 of the Bills of Exchange Act, which is contract and the money. And yes, a bill of exchange is the money. But the thing is that bill of exchange is provided by representatives of Her Majesty to cover the cost of the voyage of the firm name. Not you, the firm name. But if you don't do business in the firm name, guess what? You know where all that money is right now? That's what's funding the futures market. All these unclaimed bills of exchange on every single solitary transaction that we have done, not in the name of the firm, is the money. And that money has to be grounded somewhere, and since it wasn't claimed for the firm to pay for the cost of the car or the house for the firm, it is posted into the future. Point being is that money is there. Every transaction under the Sale of Goods Act, the Bill of Exchange is there. And if the Bill of Exchange is not honored, property in the goods does not pass. Point is if you're doing business in the name of the firm, the representatives or agents of the firm will get that bill of exchange to settle the account because that's what it's for. But we've been going to the banks and borrowing money, so that says a $100,000 house with a $75,000 mortgage only assists Her Majesty to the extent of $25,000 when the bill of exchange would have covered the whole thing and given them $100,000 and no debt, and you'd be free to boot. This is the game. Now, here's the fun part. If that's not already fun, How do you deal with all those old trade names that are floating around out there in all of those accounts?
Right, that's the real question.
You know, all those derivatives, all those things that we were calling derivatives of the name on the birth certificate are actually your name, your trade-slash-assumed name. How do we get all of those? How do we put Humpty Dumpty back together again? Because the king's men and all the king's horses can't do it. Only Humpty Dumpty can, and that's you. How does Humpty Dumpty put himself back together again? How does he clean up the mess? It's really simple. Surely someone on the call has got an inkling of an idea based on what we've talked about so far in contracts and the firm name and blah, 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 and buying and selling.
Can we bring to their attention that the name has been incorrectly recorded and you want it changed?
You could try that, but the other party has to agree now at this point. And they may or may not, but why don't you just sit down and sell all of those trade names to the firm name?
Sell them.
along with all the assets and liabilities and all the rights, title, and interest therein, because from this day forward, I'm doing business in the firm name anyhow, so let's get rid of all that shit.
So, this is called mergers and acquisitions.
You got criminal charges, civil charges, include it all.
Beautiful.
Because now Her Majesty's on contract, you see?
She's bought all those names.
That's right. And since you have the authority to buy in the firm, it's done. And I would do it for $1 and other considerations. And then also make it knowing that you lent the firm the dollar to do the transaction, so you still owe me a buck. And when the dollar comes in the mail, you're good to go. You know, you got confirmation now, don't you?
Too funny.
So let's slow down here a second and let me go through that again slowly. Because I'm serious. I don't think it's necessary to do this, but if one chooses to do so, one could say, yep, my name is Victor Beck, upper lowercase. Is the seller. And Victor Beck is selling all these trade names and take all those derivatives you've collected over the years and list them all on that bill of sale. And sell it to the firm. So you sign for the seller, per signature for the seller, and then you sign per signature for the firm as the buyer. And now you can do that because I've read case law where one individual played 5 different capacities in one situation, and he was the only guy in the whole situation. But he wore 5 different hats in that whole entire situation, and the judge says, that's the law, that's just the way it is. You see, we're all actors, and actors can play multiple roles at any one time, in any one program. And so, yes, you can sell all of those trade names, because the fact is they are trade names. They're on the phone bill, they're on the hydro bill, so business is being done in those, and the reputation is calculated in the consumer reporting, so that's the reputation. So there's no doubt they're trade names, because you're not doing business in your personal name. And so for $1 and other considerations, that's a valid contract. We have a contract, and the firm is bound. And then the seller, if the seller's wise, he would extend the credit to the firm to buy the names. So now the seller is indebted to the buyer is indebted to the seller, just like when you're buying a car, right? The buyer's got to pay. Don't worry about the other considerations. And someone said, well, why don't we do it for $1 million? Because if you're going to do that, you're not going to get yourself out of the game. You only need to do the dollar to make the point. It also creates the debt and now gives rise to an obligation to pay that debt, just like it's done to you under those trade names every day. Now the burden has shifted, compounded by the fact that, yes, the governments have received at various levels and the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission the desire of 90 recipients to surrender certain things. So that has also been tossed into the pot before this conversation. So that is now in place to back whatever you do. And that really just covers your intention at this point. In other words, what kind of guy are you? What kind of people are you? Are you really about helping the ship? So far, it looks that way. And so based on what has been done in the surrender process so far, it backs everything from your intention perspective, legal and accounting perspective, that we're talking about here now with regards to binding the firm in the contract. And in binding the firm, keeping in mind that it is a business unit that is part of the whole, and the whole is Canada. So when you're binding the firm, you're binding a bit of Canada, of which you and I are part of, in that we contribute assets. And if it wasn't for us as the captain of the vessel, nothing would happen. And there's no doubt about that. So the joke has been on us for being so silly not to do business in the name exactly as it appears on the birth certificate, regardless of what kind of piece of paper they put in front of your face. It's up to us to know us and to do business the way we say it's going to be done. And the certificate of registration of incorporation of that name is as appears on that birth certificate and no other way. But that doesn't mean someone can't change it. It's up to you to call them on it and say, nope, this is the name. Question.
After the consolidation of the trade names, who does that notification go to? Like,
well, again, we're not going to get into any notification here just yet. Okay. We may or may not on this call. Okay, let's just focus on the processes here and what's really going on. And I'm waiting to hear from someone that's challenging anything I'm saying here.
What about driver's licenses?
What about it?
Well, in my case, my driver's license name is not the same as the birth certificate.
So it's a trade name.
Yeah.
So it's listed in the trade name.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you want to be real specific. This trade name appears on the driver's license. Now get it all in the contract so everyone knows what you're talking about here. It's up to you. If you don't convey the information clearly, then there might be a little loop. But the point is you're going to knock on the door here shortly,
mm-hmm.
Binding the firm for the first time in history. I believe that in itself is going to spur a phone call to you.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate that.
I also I'm not talking just to you, Doug, and I also suspect that you might be tested. Because you're acquiring a lot of power here. You are technically, legally, you do have a license to kill.
Well, we've given the power, we just never used it.
Well,
that's what I get out of it.
All power and authority has been given unto us, and this birth certificate is an extension of that power into the commercial realm of indemnification.
Mm-hmm. And up to this point in time, I know of no one, neither do you, that has used it correctly.
Nope, I don't know either.
No.
I'm sure there's a whole bunch of people on this call that are going to have to admit you're absolutely right. There's not a single solitary piece of paper here that has the name on it exactly as it appears on the birth certificate. And it might be on the deed of registration to the house properly, but it's not on the buying agreement to the house.
Correct.
So when you bought the house as Victor Beck for the firm because they registered it to the firm. But you put yourself on the hook to pay.
Because you didn't in fact sign it correctly.
Well, that's right. You didn't disclose who's buying the house.
Yeah.
You said it's my house by doing it in your trade name.
Right. Exactly.
Or by not saying this is being done for the firm.
Yeah.
Oh. This is ridiculously simple, folks. It's ridiculously simple. For a lack of us being wise enough, think about it. Here we have a registered name that the government recognizes in its archives, and then we're trying to tell them that all these other names came from that name. Prove it. It's not there. So you know what? Just do. You are the one. You have the one name to do business in. Start using it accordingly.
Vic?
Yep.
How about when we applied for the birth certificate? When I applied for the birth certificate, when I had signed it, Kevin James.
I don't care. We're talking about what happened before you got the certificate. It doesn't matter. This you have. If you have a certificate, you have permission/authority to bind the firm.
Okay, so it does not matter how we signed for the application for the birth certificate.
If you have a birth, no.
Okay, good enough. Thank you.
You're welcome. No, remember, your signature on the application for the birth certificate is the same signature that's going to bind the firm. Who cares? The main thing is to get it. Who's signing here and in what capacity?
The capacity is the ingredient that's necessary.
You know, if it says if Victor Beck on the contract and I signed for the firm, then I just signed for myself. So what? I'm just going to mute the phone again here, and if anyone wants to talk, there's noise in the background again, just a sec. Okay, just so you're all clear, everyone is muted again. If you want to talk, you have to press *6. Now is another good time for questions, and surely there are questions. Got to be a question. So everyone's cool then? Anyone there? Hello? Okay, so we have no questions? Well, then I guess we'll... that's good. Again, on November the 16th was the day that the registered mail was received at the federal level with regards to the partakers in the giver program. And basically, in that documentation there, the governments are being asked, I think I've said before, but I'm going to go over that again now, the governments are being asked if they're going to take any responsibility, and we use two names, we use two firm names for the two of us that initiated the process a few months ago, that are exactly as appear on the birth certificate. So we asked if the government is responsibility for those names, the accounts, the estate, and or the recipient of the particular birth certificate, and then mention that other 90 people, for everything that's going on with these two recipients, these other 90 are all included in that same thing. And so the question is already on the table, are they going to take responsibility for the firm names? Without actually identifying them as firm names, we're just going to see how they're, you know, how they're going to respond to that. But we have identified the firm names by by using the names exactly as they appear on the birth certificate and just asking the question, are you going to take responsibility for the name, the estate, the accounts, and or the recipient of the certificate? So that's been done, and again, that was received November the 16th, and on this particular one, they were asked to respond in 10 days. So that was done for a reason that we didn't, there's no need to include all 90 names, but for all intents, if there's anything any one of you is doing, feel free to mention that you have, you know, that you've surrendered the estate, which technically you can't surrender what's already been surrendered because it never was your estate, but the intention is there on the paper that you've let go of the concept of ownership. Everything is owned by the firm here. So that's clear. No claims are made. And so there's no, it's basically, it's coming across like everyone here is taking responsibility. That has been made clear that everyone has taken responsibility, surrendered the estate. Now, basically, we're just saying, here's what we've done, here's where the situation sits, and here's what we're asking you guys now. That all came from Justin, and as I said, included in that communication was the United States Securities and Exchange because of Canada being listed on that, and there are accounts receivables and other things. And so yes, that's, you're all in there at now, and although not by a particular name. So if anyone wants to reference that they've done this, by all means, go ahead and do so. And if you ever need confirmation, or a third party wants confirmation that you've done that, then do let us know, and we will confirm it for you. It's better to hear it from a third party than from yourself. However, at the same time, I'm suggesting that, and that's another purpose of this call with all of this new information to think about, is that you think about what we've talked about here tonight. Or what I've said tonight, and consider reevaluating everything you think you know, and maybe clearing out some complexities and just looking at this thing from a very, very simple perspective. And first off, that you are, look at it from this perspective, you are in possession of a ship of Her Majesty. It bears the name of Her Majesty's ship. The fact that you're the recipient of that birth certificate with that particular ship name on it makes you the captain of that ship. You have wanton authority to receive and dispose of goods onto that ship and bear no responsibility for the ship other than your desired course of where you want to go, and no financial or legal responsibilities with respect to the ship, the repair of the ship, or any assets on it or anything to do with it, period. That's the world God intended us to have, and that's the world that Her Majesty intended us to have, or the system. Remember that we're the creators of the system. Just somewhere along the way, we forgot that. And for those who know about the other world and all the equilibrium and stuff, and that this whole world is actually an illusion of our minds, but that's why I say we created all of this. It's been perpetuated for a very long time and evolved into what it is. And again, keeping in mind that Judy Hartman said, a birth certificate is not and was never intended to be personal identification. It is permission to buy in the firm. That's the only other thing it can be. It's got the registered firm name right on it that they do recognize in their archives. A birth certificate is a valuable token. It's valuable in that it is permission/authority to bind the firm, which keeps you out of all that game. It's very valuable. And the government does not register people. It registers events, and the event is the extraction of the fetus. So it's the act of extracting the fetus that constitutes the registration. So it's registration of the extraction of a fetus, not which fetus. It has nothing to do with that. And the party that's in hold of that documentation is in possession of, it's like, look at it this way, if Dave on this call here went and registered a business tomorrow called Dave's TV, Dave is going to have a certificate of incorporation. He can open accounts with that. He, for all intents and purposes, is the one liable to perform for that firm and no one else. And the proof of that is the other piece of paper that the government has, which you could call the statement of birth, if you will, the bill of lading, the new vehicle information statement. You see, all of these documents are just that the government holds are titled to something new that exists at that moment that didn't exist a moment before. And whoever holds title to that information holds title to that thing that didn't exist before. So when that paper comes into the knowledge of the government at that point in time, they have assumed all responsibilities connected with whatever that paper identifies, provided that things are done in the name appearing on that registration. If it's done in any other name, the government is not responsible. Someone else is, and that would be you. And if not you, it means it's floating out there in a sea of space and it came out of nowhere, and that's not possible. someone's got to go to jail. Someone's got to be on the hook for this. We need to ground these charges somewhere. They can't float around out here forever. Questions?
Yeah, Vic.
Yep.
You'll be should be receiving notice then pretty soon from the government that everything's gone through. If you sent it 10 days ago.
Like I say, they received it on November 16th.
Oh, they received it on the 16th and they had 10 days?
That's the, we asked them to respond in 10 days.
Okay.
So that's all I can tell you.
Okay.
But like I'm saying is look at that what's been done up to date, regardless of a response or not. There's nothing to hold you back with thinking on what we're talking about here tonight and how you might consider conducting your affairs in the future.
Okay.
Because in all honesty, it's going to come down to, at the end of the day, is us taking responsibility, excuse me, and that in part entails, look, if account people are not opening the account and the name as appears on the birth certificate, you need to take responsibility for that and get it corrected. Otherwise, you are going to assume liabilities under that new name. So ultimately, as God has made it, the responsibility lies with each of us, what happens to each of us, individually and collectively. And so, yes, so anyhow, we've asked that 10 days. And certainly we'll be sharing that when we get a response. So any other questions on with regards to anything we've talked about here tonight? Like, I know people out there got legal issues. Surely some of you've got some questions, like how you might want to deal with it or something, just so we can get something on the table for conversation here to share and other ways to, that might go, things might go cha-ching for people. I really like for people to share these things. Now's a good time.
I got one.
Fire away. Sorry about that.
No, go ahead. Is there anything we can do about the CCRA right now?
About the CCRA right now?
If they're trying to collect on us.
Yeah, well, like I say, right off the hop, the first thing that the first thing I might consider if I was in that situation, taking the name that they're moving under, take all those derivatives and sell it over to the firm name and let them know about it.
Well, you didn't go into any details about how you'd register that sale or who, you just let them know?
Yes. You get it on a contract.
They don't give a shit about contracts or anything else we've ever done.
Well, you haven't done anything properly, to my knowledge. I've never met anyone that has bound the firm.
Okay.
Like, lots of people have done all their contract stuff, but no one's bound the firm. You got to sell these things to the firm, then that's the name that appears exactly on the birth certificate to which the government of registration holds the title to it.
Okay.
If you have a problem after that, I would call the RCMP. I would have no problem doing that.
Have you done anything with the real estate deal-wise in the last little bit here, Vic?
No, I'm just actually, we just talked about that today when I got back here. I fully intend to now is to I'm not sure that I'm going to do the selling the trade names to the firm name because I don't think that's necessary. I think one just binding up the firm and getting that contract to the government will make your point, and they will contact people about that. But in any case, I'm planning on going out to, actually, I've got the real estate books today. I've gone through them a little bit. I'm going to pick a place, go meet real estate, and I'm going to get an offer, an acceptance thing done. I'll probably just get the vendor to make an offer for the price and the particulars of the property. I'm going to accept that on behalf of the firm and send that down with the particulars along with the car deal, contract for a car. And here's the thing, folks. I mean, if you're not thinking about this, let's think about this. Anyone have a mortgage on the house?
Yes.
Well, why don't you sell the house to the firm?
Absolutely.
And then send that over to the government there. Hey, you got a contract here. You bought a house. Better pay up, pay all the debts off, and get the money over to the leftover to whoever gets it. So I'm saying just, and I'm not suggesting where you send anything. I think what I'm going to suggest is we have a call next Tuesday.
Okay.
And if people maybe be patient and take a week to ponder on all of this, to let it sink in a little bit. And hopefully the gentleman that usually records these calls has recorded this call, and so you can go to that web link that I've shared, or he was shared with me to share with you.
This line is now muted.
Talked about.
This line is now unmuted.
Grasp the totality of this. Until you bind the firm is not bound. And in accordance with the rules of evidence, and I'm looking right at the evidence book here, the court goes by what it sees and cannot infer anything other than when it comes to documentary evidence that is proof, already deemed proof. It cannot look at those documentation and look outside of that piece of paper for responsibility. And so you and I are not there. And I think everyone will agree on this call that no one has done that yet. No one has actually done business in the name of the firm and signed properly. And so that's the whole problem. There's no doubt about that.
Mortgage, you can probably say nothing about the home purchase yet. Well, he can say sell it to the firm, but he won't tell you where to send it.
I'm not saying I won't tell you. I'm just suggesting that we have a call next week about that. Because, I mean, That's why I'm suggesting you think about things, because I think you can all come to the answer yourself if you think about things. Like, if you register a business and I'm holding the piece of paper, who might you send a letter to, me or my next-door neighbor? You know, who's holding the document title, folks? Come on. You're going to write to someone who's not holding the document title or someone that's holding the document title?
Under me. Registrar General.
Well, I'm sure people can, you know, give it some thought. But I'm suggesting anyhow that you just ponder on this for a week. I'm not suggesting you do anything. Give it some thought. And if you want, we can have a call next Tuesday, and then we can. Are there any questions, anyhow?
Yeah. Tell him, is it Thunder Bay?
Pardon me?
What he says.
He did by not answering.
Where does it say anything about Thunder Bay on any.
Hello?
I'm here.
The reason nobody had questions was because the conference was completely muted.
Oh, I came back on and I got that, James, so.
Okay.
Sorry about that. I thought I pushed star 5. Must have put star 6.
On the BC one, Vic, it's for treasury use only, a treasury receipt. Would it be the treasury department?
Nope. Look, let me make it really easy for you. I thought I did. If you register a business and you leave the documentation of incorporation with me, say that's my job and it's in my hands.
Right.
Would you send the note? Would you send your information to me, the guy that holds the title to the firm name, or would you send it someplace else?
Well, yeah, it's the owner of the firm, yeah.
Well, then look on the statement of birth. It's all right there in front of your face.
Thank you.
Right?
Thunder Bay.
I don't believe it says Thunder Bay.
Oh. Thank you, Canada.
Look on the statement of birth. Not the certified copy has is a legal size. The actual statement of birth is a little piece inside of that.
Could be vital statistics, wouldn't it?
Well, it seems to me, I know the ones in Ontario say province of Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's a government of Ontario.
Brilliant.
And there's a particular Ministry of Government of Ontario that's responsible for those documents.
Usually Ministry of Health, I think. Ministry of Commercial. Consumer Affairs.
Government Services.
Commercial and Consumer
Affairs. Well, that's who it would be in Ontario now, wouldn't it? Right. Again, you see, I'm not suggesting where to send it because I haven't done it yet, and there's two things I'm thinking. One is there, and the other is to go right to a lawyer. The lawyer has an oath to serve Her Majesty's interest. I think when they see that you've bound the firm, that they will just perform. They might test you, but I think the main thing is, again, don't get focused on rushing into doing something here. Think about what we talked about here tonight. Think about what you've done, what you've said, and if what we're saying tonight is true, I know it to be true. We're each given one business name to do business in, and none of us has used it. So we all have to admit that we haven't actually done this process yet. We've done everything but this, and the fact of the matter is, it is in evidence that we don't have title to it. The government has admitted that. The fee paid for a birth certificate does not pass full legal title on the recipient. The government retains a legal title on all certificates.
Interesting thing.
That is the statement. That is the statement of birth, because the birth certificate is a copy of that. It's right in the statute. You have a copy of the title.
Makes sense.
So minimally, there's proof of interest. You have an interest because you hold the birth certificate, Your Honor. I have an interest in this matter because I hold the certificate with the name on the charges over there. Does anyone else have a title like this? Then get the heck out of here.
Makes sense. Two copies.
It's right in the Vital Statistics Act. The birth certificate is an extract. An extract means copy of the original. You don't have the original. Someone else does.
Right.
And you didn't sign the original. It's not your firm name.
Your mom signed it. That was the...
And there's no need to draft up bonds. There's no need to draft up bills of exchange. There's no need to send the birth certificate anywhere. It wasn't issued to be given away. Ridiculous.
So what would you do? Just make reference to the birth certificate when you're communicating with somebody?
Well, yeah, you need to identify who you are, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you're the recipient of the birth certificate bearing the name of firm on it, firm name on it.
Right.
And you hold the title to it. And here's a contract. Here's a contract with the firm name on it that you hold title to.
So you're saying
now you have, in fact, under the law of contract, you have bound them to perform. If they don't perform, the law will enforce itself upon itself. This is why... They're going to perform here, folks, because the concept of dishonor, the system doesn't know that. We do, but the system doesn't. People change their minds. People sign up to buy stuff and make payments in the future and then renege on it every time. Canada and Ontario have never done that. Check their financials, even in times of war. Even in times of war. So the system acts, the law acts against those in dishonor. And when we're talking about a contract and you're not a party to the contract, the owner of the firm is. And if you were the owner of a business that wasn't performing, the law would be moving against you, so... Bind up the owner here. That's what the owner intended. The owner never intended that birth certificate was personal identification, folks.
Isn't there a bond number right on it?
Minutes.
Pardon me?
Isn't there a bond number right on the...
There's no... Don't... See, if you're going to put stuff on your paper that you don't know about, you're going to mess up.
Remaining.
Stick to the facts. Just stick to the facts. When we were talking to the car dealer on Friday, as soon as we asked him for the bill of exchange, he said, "What's that?" And as soon as my friend started to explain to him what it is, it was over. We were not going to make any headway. The thing to do is to bind him in the contract and then look at the Sale of Goods Act and say, "Hey, second guys, I'm here to pick up the car, but there's no bills of exchange here. You guys are ready to deliver. You call me to come and pick up the car, but you're not ready." Right from that moment on, they're in breach now. You're there to pick up the car, but they don't have the bill there. They're in breach. It's up to them to perform. Don't tell them what to do. Say, "You guys are in breach. Hurry up and get your shit together and call me when you got that bill of exchange, for fuck's sakes." I'm not here to, I don't know what it says right here in the Sale of Goods Act, Bill of Exchange and Bill of Lading. I'm not going to tell you the law, and you're telling me you don't know what, how to sell your goods? Not my problem. You got the contract here. Deliver. Keep your mouth shut. As soon as you start explaining stuff, then the burden's now on you. And so all of this stuff we talked about tonight doesn't mean shit if you're going to sit there and explain to the agents how to do their job. You're the captain of the ship. You don't know that stuff. You know how to sail a ship, but you don't know how to fix it. You don't know how to do accounting. You don't know how to do legal, so stop doing that crap.
If you do know, keep quiet.
Someone, that's right. You just need to know what you know. Someone says, "Well, that's registration of your birth." Clearly you haven't read the Vital Statistics Act. You don't know what registration of birth is, and I don't care. Figure it out. There's a contract here.
Probably don't even have to show it to them. Just make sure the firm's name gets put on properly.
That's right. The thing is, you know the government's holding that in their archives.
Yeah.
And by the court can order a copy of it under the Vital Statistics Act. But there again, that's the other half of this conversation is stop explaining to these guys what to do. Stop telling them that I need this and I need that and this is what it is and that what it isn't because you don't know what it is. The burden's on them. It says right in the law. The onus is on the seller, not the buyer. But if you don't ask for the bill of exchange, they don't have to give it. But when you do, it's part of the contract because if you don't get it, how can you honor it? And if you don't honor it, the property doesn't pass to the buyer. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm not paying for anything here that I don't own. And even though you're doing it for the firm, you got to ask yourself a question. Would you buy something that you don't own, buddy?
I know what you're talking about.
Well, don't ask me to do it.
I know how to do it.
That's what I said to the salesman. I says, you know, Art, and if you're not going to get the bill of exchange and the bill of lading, you and I are not going to do business. Oh, I'll get them. But sure enough, when we were having this conversation with the guy, no contract yet. Talked to him about the bill of exchange, the bill of lading. He says, "What's that?" Instead of just doing up the contract and waiting for them to call you to come pick up the car and then ask them, "Where's the bill of exchange and bill of lading?" You call me to come and pick up the car and you guys aren't ready to deliver yet. Well, what are you talking about? Well, it's right here in the Sale of Goods Act. Figure it out and call me soon because otherwise you guys are in breach. Have a nice day. Let them figure it out. They can call their lawyers and they can call General Motors lawyers, whoever holds the bill of exchange. They'll get the darn thing. But remember, you're doing this for the firm, not you.
Yeah.
So it's not Majesty's money.
Get it? Buy a car tomorrow.
It's Her Majesty's money. And if you've ever read in the criminal code, there's serious offenses for not handing over money belonging to Her Majesty. serious jail time. Remember what the RCMP told my friend years ago. You guys don't understand the criminal code. It's got nothing to do with you. It's to keep us in line. But it won't work that way until you're binding the firm, because when you're binding the firm, you're actually working with Her Majesty at a very high level. Until then, you're helping sink the ship, and that's why they're attacking you, because you're materially impairing the value, character, and use of the enterprise. A house with a mortgage on it, it definitely affects its use. You can't just up and sell it because someone else has a claim to it. Definitely affects its value and definitely affects the character of the whole situation. Remember, you're not doing this for you, so if you need to call the police in here, officer, this is Her Majesty on contract here, and I'm just trying to get the money for the firm, and they won't produce it. They want me to go and put the firm into debt. There's no need for that. They got the money, and they're not giving it. It's not my money. It belongs to Her Majesty. It's her car.
Sure.
Now, you won't be called to pay for insurance either. Remember, the owner pays for insurance. There won't be any property taxes or any of that stuff either. Any questions, comments, anything?
Nick, yeah, it's Lisa here. I was just curious. I am looking at a notice of tax arrears, and they sent that off to me, and I've had very little communication with them. Any ideas to ponder on how I can deal with that notice?
That's CRA, is it?
Municipality taxes.
Well, same thing there again.
Simply let them know that you're sending it to the wrong.
Yep, check the name on your remember who the purchaser is.
Right.
So if the purchaser was not the name on the birth certificate, in all likelihood it wasn't.
Right.
That's why you're on the hook.
Okay.
But also make sure that the name appearing on the tax bill is exactly as appears on the birth certificate, and if not, that those are all trade names, and sell those trade names to the firm name.
Right. Right. Okay. Now I'm lucky, I guess. My tax bill is in the proper format. I guess my lack of knowledge on whether I put signature to it in regards to the purchase of the house initially.
Well, just you're talking on the tax bill.
Right. Right.
Just make sure I'm talking the commas everything.
Absolutely to the T, as my birth certificate is.
Perfect. So they're doing everything properly behind the scenes, but where you got yourself on the hook is on the purchase contract.
Right.
So that's the one that's got you, because there you said it's my house.
Right, exactly.
And so that's what's in evidence, but behind the scenes it's not your house. Remember, you cannot separate from God, but we can believe we've separated. You can't separate the straw man from the enterprise, but you can act like it's your house.
Absolutely.
And that's what's in evidence right now. When you went in there and didn't buy it for the firm, it wasn't for the firm, so the firm's not on the hook for the payments.
Right. Now, my remedy for that situation would be,
I would find out what name, or take all the trade names, doesn't matter.
Right.
And if you can find out the purchase contract and find out specifically which name was the purchaser, and then indicate on that trade name list that you're selling to the firm that this is the name that purchased the home, and it's one of the names you're selling to the firm, along with all right, title, and interest in that name, and all assets and liabilities, everything.
Okay.
Now the house belongs to the firm, and all the liabilities that go with it. But because you're in possession of the birth certificate with the name of the firm on it, you're entitled to possession of the house. That's why they want to see identification. That's the real reason for identification. If you're binding the firm, okay, we see you bound the firm. We see someone bound the firm here, but which one of you is entitled to receive delivery of the asset here?
Right.
That's the identification aspect. Remember, it's not personal identification.
Right.
So if you use it properly and bind the firm, then the identification identifies who's entitled to receive delivery of the goods.
Okay.
And since there's only one birth certificate with the name on it and on that particular firm name, and if you're holding it, that would be you. Again, you're identifying, just look at it that the birth certificate is identifying the holder, the recipient, as the captain of the ship, Her Majesty's ship. So everything you're doing in that name of the firm is in name of the enterprise, or for the firm, for the Majesty, for the enterprise, for Canada, for the public, for the people, for God. You know, and one thing you may want to focus on here too is contracts. All you need to do here, if you haven't thought of this yet, you know, the whole thing here is to get the firm bound into contracts. Think of all the ways you can have fun with that.
Right.
Just making sure that the firm is always on the hook. But do not, and this is a caution, do not get into the game of making money out of thin air.
Right.
You might end up in jail.
Right.
Find the firm and let the agents do the transactions behind the scenes to do the payments on it. You don't have a license to print up money, and don't do transactions where you're going to say, oh, yeah, I want $1 million for nothing.
Right.
There has to be an asset backing the deal.
But
people, think about contracts. You know, get someone to make an offer. Get your friend to offer you to sell the car, and then sell it to your firm in contract. Maybe you can think about these debts and how you can contract. Like I say, my friend in a criminal matter is taking all of his trade names and selling them to the firm and giving it to the Crown, because now they have to purchase. They purchase for $1 another consideration all the charges against the firm. Everything's come full circle. So if you're to give time about this conversation and understanding the contracts, remember this whole game that Her Majesty's agents are playing, every court procedure, it's all contract. Every court order is the order to pay, is the bill of exchange, is the money. Remember what they said to my friend in Pembroke? Okay. The judge says, I'm giving you your remedy, when he handed him the order to pay. I hope you know what to do with it. He accepted it and put it in the court file, and everything disappeared. Am I right, James? You still on the call?
Do
you remember that, or were you party to that or something?
I wasn't party to all the information at that point.
Okay.
So basically, you just accepted it and put it back in there?
That's all he did, yep, because it's the money. But whatever he said in court convinced the judge that he knew who he was, so the judge said, okay, I'm giving you your remedy. And I could tell you this right now, if any time you're in court and the bank's moving against you for a foreclosure, very quickly identify yourself as the bearer of this certificate. This proves my interest in the matter. That's why I'm here as an intervener, and I'm calling upon my partner, Her Majesty, to help settle this thing, which is calling upon the court. And, Your Honor, if you would kindly issue the order at the request of the law firm for the bank, I'll be happy to accept it and get it to the court clerk for closure in the matter. Remember, the lawyer's doing two things there. He's seeking a judgment, and then he seeks an order. Now, he's not necessarily seeking it for himself. He's just doing his job. He's seeking the order. It's up to you to ask for it. But what gives you the right to ask for it? The fact that you hold the birth certificate means you have the best claim in that courtroom to it, provided that you make it clear that you're doing it with Her Majesty, for Her Majesty, in the name of Her Majesty, in the firm name of Her Majesty. Really, really very potent stuff, folks, to think about here, and all the applications for it, and understanding that all power and authority is from God and from Her Majesty, to be recognized by the agent that we do have the authority to bind the firm, but it has to be in the name on the certificate.
Well, you're off now, though.
there's no reason why a guy couldn't handle that administratively and just say basically what you just said there.
Oh, totally. Because look at it this way, folks. If once you've got the firm on a contract, if the owner of the firm doesn't pay, can you not take it to court for breach?
Exactly.
And if everything's in evidence properly, it's going to be a breach because there's nothing to point to you that says you're the owner of the firm. You're not the owner of the firm. You are not the owner of the firm. You do not hold title to the firm. All those other trade names and the assumed names, yeah, they are your name. Remember, if something is homemade, the government has no claim to it. The reason is they don't have a document of title. Simple. And the statement of birth is not title to your body. It is title to the information, including the firm name. And you can ask any lawyer. When the government registered the birth, did they register my body? Oh, God, no.
My daughter, she couldn't get a driver's license with a statement of birth. She had to have a birth certificate.
Yep, because, you see?
They needed that name.
Well, no, because she wanted to bind herself to some other kind of license, James. They won't let her bind the firm to that. Now, you're presenting a statement of birth. That's the document titled. How do you do that? Statement of birth is the license.
Yeah.
The birth certificate is the license to bind the firm. So if you're driving on the road and everything you're doing on the road is being done in the name of the firm, you're not liable for it.
Yeah, but they needed to know exactly how the name of the firm was spelled on that birth certificate before they could do the driver's license.
So when your daughter, there's two ways to look at that. Is just to share my thoughts on that. We actually talked about that over dinner here. Is one is to, when you go to apply for the driver's license, insist that the name appearing on the driver's license is exactly the same as it appears on the birth certificate. And then when you sign per for the firm.
Yeah, well,
they say, what are you doing? You say, well, just as Her Majesty holds title to this name. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Not binding myself here. What are you, nuts? Well, but the thing is the statement of birth and birth certificate is the license.
Yeah.
If you know what you got. In other words, the other license is for those who believe they need another license to drive on the roads. It's for those who believe in money. It's for those who believe they're a debtor. It's for those who believe they need to go to get a social insurance card to get a job to pay for things. So, in fact, if you were selling your trade names to the firm, I would certainly take the name off the birth certificate and say that that's the one on the driver's license. And if the captain needs a driver's license, send him one. The thing is, they should flag the name in the system.
Yeah.
Because anytime now that they know that you're binding the firm up here, then any charges they issue to you is actually to the firm, and to do that knowingly now is fraud.
Yeah.
Extortion. They're knowingly passing off a liability to you that they know is not your liability. Come on. So there's a multitude of ways, but I think it's a case of getting the firm bound up in one contract and sending that through. If you look at it this way, let's say the government has a claim against you in one of your trade names. So then you get the government bound up in a contract on its side. Isn't that a set-off? They have a claim against you, and you have a claim against them. But your claim is never-ending because you can keep writing claims all you want, so they can never win. That's why Neil won the war, because he could never lose. He had more authority than Smith will ever have. But it wasn't until he stopped resisting that it all kicked in. So I'm learning now not to resist a single solitary thing. Even if I don't like it, I look for, okay, don't resist this. What's the message here? And boom, I'm going to tell you, every time there is a message, it's good. It's amazing. Yeah, the ego might want to kick in the gear there and say, no, that's not right. But just kick this ego aside for the moment and say, okay, I'm going to accept this and not resist this. What's it all mean? And let it flow. You know, so there's lots to think about here, but do bear in mind here that the Bills of Exchange Act is all about contract, offer and acceptance, and then who's going to pay and the payment methods. And so there's absolutely no doubt that that's where all that stuff's coming from, and that's how the whole court procedures are being played, is based on that Bills of Exchange Act through and through. They create the contract through the offer and acceptance, and it's okay. How much can you pay? Can he pay, not pay, jail time or fine time, what? And then the judge writes up this little thing. You've been found guilty, and the judge has deemed that you have the ability to pay, and you sign the promise to pay. Come on. You're in the bank there, but it's all a test. It's all a test. So bind the firm. Just get it in your head. Bind the firm. Get rid of me, my mind. So it's understand contracts and how to create a contract, and you can play. You're not contracting with yourself. You can be the seller in one capacity, and binding the firm in another capacity. And you're not a party. You're not a signatory to the firm. You just have authorization to bind the firm. So everything's being done at arm's length, because it's not your interest at the end of the day. It all belongs to Her Majesty. But as the holder of the birth certificate, you have the right to receive and dispose of property, and you are the labor half of the relationship, hence the creditor. That's why it's all set up that way, in recognition of, yeah, we are the ones giving the value, and we don't have to pay for it as long as we do things in the name of the firm. You want to do it your own way, it comes at a price, because we're resisting. resisting that everything is whole and everything is of the one. So until you put your own Humpty Dumpty back together again, which is your own affair, it's going to be a mess. Egg yolk all over the place. Chirp, chirp, cheep, cheep. Oh, what a relief it is. Get Mother Goose to sit back on you.
Make sure it's darn boiled the next time.
Get that. Maybe it'll be a golden one this time. So anyway, when you get to understand the contracts, you can sit there and play all kinds of roles. Just put on the hat as the seller, put on the hat as the buyer, make deals with your friends, whatever you want to do. Think about this and buying the firm. And a contract, and here's the thing, folks. If I didn't say this before, I had a friend in a real estate transaction a few years back, and we were asking the lawyer about check and title on the name of the purchaser and this and that. And so the lawyer ended up calling the law society and asking, he says, my client seems to have than me. Can I get myself out of this real estate transaction? And the law society said, no, you'll compromise the contract, and the court does not have authority to trespass against a contract. So once there's a contract, they have to work with it, not against it. Only if it's an unlawful consideration or the contract is not clear what the intention of the parties is, like they can't properly identify the property because if someone didn't do their paperwork properly, that's the only times that contracts can be canceled under the Frustrated Contracts Act. If a contract is clear and concise, I'm buying a 1984, 1983 Ford, VIN number, blah, blah, for $1,000, and it's being sold to the firm, that's a contract. The firm's on the hook, and the firm has to pay because if the firm doesn't pay, it's breaching its own rules not to trespass against contracts. In other words, contracts have got to be honored. No court will trespass against a contract or cause the dissolution or cancellation of a contract, except, like I say, if it's an illegal consideration or a usurious consideration or the goods in the contract are not clear and the court can't determine what's actually being bought and sold here. Outside of that, it works to enforce the contracts. Nothing else. That's all that's happening in court is under the law of contract is ensuring the performance of persons to honor their contractual obligations. That's the law of contract, and that's what's happening in every single solitary court case to ensure that the parties to the contract are performing their responsibilities with respect to the contract. That's what's happening in court. So when you're buying the firm, how the heck is the firm going to go against its own rules? It doesn't know anything. It's like God doesn't know no. God doesn't know dishonor, and neither does Her Majesty's system. It doesn't know that. It deals with it every day, but it doesn't know it in that it's not of it. It's of the people. Any more questions?
Probably tomorrow.
Well, anyhow, then I'm going to go, but do ponder on what we talked about. Give it some thought. Think about this whole thing. You do have the power to buy in the firm, and what it takes to constitute a contract. If there's evidence of an offer that's signed and an acceptance of contracts can be verbal, they can be, although verbal ones are harder to prove, but they can be backed by the actions of certain parties or with witnesses. So get it in writing, get it signed by both parties, and it's a contract. And now, once it's a contract, all contracts are enforceable. That's the law. And the firm is, and the seller would be a party to the contract, and the buyer, which is the firm, would be a party to the contract, and in no time are you on the hook for anything here.
Right. Firm is clear and signed properly.
See, and if when you're binding the firm has to pay because otherwise the firm is receiving something for nothing, and that's why they got the bills of exchange in there to make sure that the payment can be made. But it can't be made if it's not done in the name of the firm. And all those unclaimed bills of exchange is what is floating in the future. That's the money that we could have used to pay for everything, or Her Majesty's representatives could have applied to pay for value received into the firm.
So simple.
That's right. Again, remember Section 34 of the Bills of Exchange Act. If the drawee, that means if the buyer, if the seller is drawing on you for the price or drawing on you for delivery of the goods, if that name, if the drawee's name is misspelt, he may correct it or he may accept in his own name. Okay? So we have the opportunity to make sure that the name on the birth certificate is there. If we don't, we have accepted in our own name.
Well, that's what that means.
And all you did was put yourself on the hook for the firm. Because everything you're doing and behind the scenes, they are doing it in the firm because the fact of the matter is, as much as you believe in separation, folks, there ain't no such thing.
Then you have to go after the firm to recover.
Well, I, James, you're not going to meet resistance here. The truth is the truth is the truth. We haven't. None of us has operated in the truth, the way things are set up. Total misconception. I mean, how long have we been saying that all these names are derivative off the name of the birth certificate rather than dealing in the name on the birth certificate, for crying out loud? How ridiculous. Well, that's ended now.
So the Queen's gift then falls into line with this thinking?
Yeah, because when you start doing in the name of the firm, everything you're doing now, it does benefit the Treasury. 100%. Full value.
So the action that she took back in giving everything to the Treasury, in fact, supports this thing.
Oh, totally. It's just she did it in one town, foul swoop. You do it as you do stuff.
Yeah.
Every time you buy something in the name of the firm, it's like you're surrendering whatever you're doing to the estate, into the Treasury.
So you can choose to operate in two identities then.
Well, you can have as many as you want.
What I mean is that you can have you can operate for the Queen or not for the Queen. It's your choice at any given point in time, right?
Well, this is, who else has a choice with, Jim, Doug?
Sorry?
Who else is the choice with but yourself?
Well, that's what I mean.
But that is the choice, yes. So, the only way in evidence that you can prove that what you're doing is for Her Majesty is to actually do business in the name of Her Majesty, the firm name.
Mm-hmm.
Let me rephrase that. The name is not of Her Majesty. It's of the parent that put it there, but she holds title to it. Okay, so it's wrong to say that this name is of Her Majesty, because it's not. If you look on the evidence, the name Her Majesty didn't put the name of the child on the form, right?
Right.
A parent did, but she holds title to the name. That's all you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
A representative of Her Majesty holds title to this name, firm name. So it's you know, the use of words is critical, and keep all the personal crap out of it, and just keep it real simple. Here's a contract with your firm name on it. You guys will settle up with the vendor, please.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, I got a friend. I got to share with this with you. I got a friend who's he was involved in like a $12 million, largest marijuana bust in Canadian or Saskatchewan history two summers ago. So what we're going to do is he's going to sell all of his trade names to the firm name, get all that set in place. Then he's going to send a letter to the government letting him know that he's going to start another big, huge grow-up in the name of the firm. How would you like me to proceed?
Yeah.
We're going to ask him.
You want to spread it really lightly, or you like it in leaps?
Remember, so they should come up with a license for him. I mean, he's already got it, but they should provide a license, because they can't stop him. But they, you know, he's asking, how would you like to proceed? I'm not going to kill people, but I'm going to grow some stuff. How would you like to proceed? Since I've already got the license to buy in the firm, what the heck? I'm going to do all this in the name of the firm. I'm going to put big signs up there, you know. This is a new project by XYZ firm, ever, you know, that to which Your Majesty holds title.
too funny.
Well, this is being done under the authority of Her Majesty. That's right. Well, then we can't bust him.
This throws the doors wide open, doesn't it?
Yeah, but we're just having fun with this. The thing
is you
don't want to get and abuse this. There's others out there that aren't aware of this and are going to have a problem with this, and it's better to be responsible and work with everything.
Absolutely.
Love,
but you can have fun with it.
Pardon me?
You can have fun with it, though, like we're doing now.
No, was that Lisa or Susie said something?
Yeah, I was just saying, always in love, truth, and compassion.
Totally. So we're having these little laughs here. He's going to do that, but it's not to just, you know, set up 1,000 plants in the middle of downtown Toronto, because he can, you know. So that's why he's asking, how would you like to proceed? So in a way, he's kind of, you know, he's asking for a license to do so, that the agents will recognize it authorizes him to do this. It's for medical reasons, by the way, with the whole research thing. In fact, it's all been documented in the bust, and the Crown's even admitted that bought him some brownie points, but he still didn't have a license to do it.
Well, he's just looking for a license.
Yep. You see, he didn't have the name that he was, the arrest was done under, was not licensed. If he had it done in the firm name from the beginning, that's a different story.
mm-hmm.
But nothing he purchased was in the firm name, you see.
He was doing it in secret, I suspect.
Well, he was doing it in a trade. No, he was wide open about it. No secrets at all. Photographs, everyone knew exactly what they were doing. Pictures, the whole thing was documented as a research facility.
Just didn't go about it the right way.
That's right. Again, a license is permission authority, so it just means in your hands it's to show Her Majesty's agents that you have permission to do what you're doing, and they'll leave you alone. Technically, that's what the birth certificate is. It's full authority. It's wanton authority to do anything, but you got to do it in the name of the firm. And if they don't do it in the name of the firm, you got to say, just a second here, I showed you the certificate, or if I didn't show you the certificate, sorry, this is the way the name should be. This is the way the name has got to be, or you're not doing business through me. So put your eyes on this birth certificate, see how the name is on there. Put it exactly as you see it right there. I mean exactly as you see it there on that piece of paper over there, thank you. Oh, and here's your copy.
Okay, got to ponder this a bit.
Yep, so do that, and I'll maybe put on an email through the week about a call next Tuesday so we can all get together, and maybe you'll have more questions by then, but I would certainly think about all of this before you do anything.
Yeah.
And if you do something here, just it won't compromise, in my view, the surrender thing, provided that you make sure that you're binding the firm here and you sign accordingly. Okay, but also remember that it's not your job to do the agent's job. Her Majesty has got all these agents in place to do whatever it is you need done. Let the experts do it, and don't tell the expert what the expert should already know.
Yeah, just keep quiet.
That's probably part of the test.
That wouldn't make sense.
You know, as soon as you turn around and start explaining stuff, now the burden's on you.
It appears to be for your benefit, not for Her Majesty's.
Yep, rather than just saying, well, I don't know what you're thinking there, buddy, but Her Majesty holds title to this. Have a nice day.
Yeah.
You got a problem? Let's call the RCMP right now. Why the RCMP? They have a commercial crime division, and they're Her Majesty's police force. Provincial police works for the province. The RCMP is Her Majesty's police directly. And so what you're doing here, when you're doing business for the firm, it's for Her Majesty's interests. If someone wants to impede the voyage of the vessel, they get blown out of the water. And again, I'm only having fun here, Lisa. I'm not suggesting death and, destruction. Just working with the old, if you've ever seen the movie Master and Commander, it's a really good movie. Actually, we made that part of our thinking. Excellent movie.
I'll have to pick that up.
Yep, it's a great, I've seen it, I don't know, 15 times. For some reason, it's the most watched movie I've ever seen, and it's Russell Crowe, great movie.
Oh,
watch it.
Actor. I will, thank you.
It's what we're talking about here, and you know, you're either with Her Majesty or against Her Majesty, and as the captain of the ship, you have full authority, regardless of what anyone else on that ship says. And sometimes people have to die to save everyone else on the ship. Tough choices. Great movie, but it's based in the old British and French naval battles when the old wooden ship days.
Right.
Great flick. You'll learn a lot. You'll hear about the registration and get the names in the registry and all this and that and the other thing. And
it's amazing how the truth is hidden in so many movies.
Oh, all of them.
It's becoming more prevalent, yes.
Totally. But you see, we don't see that until we shift our thinking.
Yeah, I don't know if it was always there and I never noticed it before, or it's becoming more prevalent, or maybe a little of both.
I'm gonna suggest it's always been there.
I would lean towards that, yes.
Just, you know, like I say to people, I see a lot more acts of love out there, and I'm thinking, is it just starting to happen, or am I just starting to notice it now?
Yeah, starting to notice it.
That's what I say, because I know I wasn't that before, so it must be me changing and seeing it now.
Absolutely.
So, anyhow, I think I'm going to get going here if there's no more questions.
Okay, buddy.
Okay, have a good one.
All right, so I'll probably send an email for another call next Tuesday just to put an end on to this and maybe close some ends for people.
Sounds good.
Have a nice evening.
Take care.
You too.
You too. Thanks,
yep.
Thanks.
You're welcome, too.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.